Hola sobrinos, it's your favorite auntie, Tia Maria. This is the Café y Consejos podcast. Each week, I sit for a cup of coffee with a new guest as we talk coffee and anything and everything under the umbrella, and maybe even a little chisme. So grab a cup and let's chat. In this week's episode, I have a cup of coffee with Raquel Sid, a New York City dog fostering professional. As we discuss a message I received from a sobrino wondering if a dog would make his pandemic life easier. Thank you, Raquel, for being here. I'm excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited again to connect with your audience, your familia.
Hey, you're familia too now, so welcome. So I have my coffee. I hope you have yours. I actually got this recipe off the internet, so I'm not going to lie to you, but it was actually really good. I substituted my milk for almond milk because that's what I like to use, but it's a spice latte coffee. I've had spice chai, but this is a spice latte coffee.
Oh.
So it asks for instant coffee. I don't use instant coffee. Today I'm using Bustelo, not a sponsor, although they should be.
That's the only coffee I drink because all my friends know I'm a tea drinker, but the only coffee I will drink is Bustelo.
Wow. See, that was a free plug. But I mean, hey, being Latina, you know, Latinx, that's our culture, right? It's like just ingrained in us.
yeah.
So the recipe calls for cocoa, ginger, cinnamon, sugar, and your creamer.
Sounds
of
good.
Choice. I mixed it all together. It was so good, and I'm pretty surprised. You know, I was like, okay, that's good. I could do this again. I was a little skeptical about the ginger, though, but. It was good. So, Miss Dog Professional, thank you so much for being here because I have a message from someone. And when I got this, I was like, I know who to talk to because you have been amazing. And I know you have this amazing mission when it comes to animals. And I love animals. So, this message came from Martin in California. And he says, hi, Tia, I'm a single male who, because of the pandemic, have been working from home like many of us. I was thinking about getting myself a dog. Being alone a lot lately has been a bit difficult. I'm just not entirely sure if I want to be a dog parent or not. I know it's a lot of responsibility, but I am home a lot more now. Help me, Tia, please. So I actually thought about that myself. I myself live alone, and I actually did think about that. I was like, but for me, I realized, you know, like that is, like he's, and my thing says, that is a lot of responsibility. Like to me, having a pet, whether it's a dog or a cat or any pet, that's like having another child. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree with that. It's a lot of work involved. But I'll let you finish before I go on my rant.
I'm going to let you take the floor. You go ahead because I know, you know, and actually we just had the holidays, right? And I know like it's a very popular thing for people to gift pets as a gift. And then there's that regret afterwards, which for me, in my opinion, is horrible. So what are things that, you know, these people should be thinking about?
Yeah, and I mean, first of all, like, I think, I don't know you, my thing, but like, thank you so much for asking that question and actually evaluating, is this right for you? Because, so I fostered over 15 dogs now, and I've also fostered cats. And one of the, you know, it pains me because a lot of dogs, you know, a lot of people have a misconception around shelter dogs. And a lot of the dogs that I've fostered are actually owner surrender. And so what happens is that people kind of, you know, dogs, puppies are so cute. They're adorable. And so you kind of just like overlook everything else. And you're like, I want a puppy. And you don't really think about how dogs, like most of them live up to like 13 years old. And so you're like committing like a 13 kind of making a 13-year-old like promise, and, or 13-year long promise. And so, like you mentioned, a lot of people do kind of gift a dog or will get one in circumstances like quarantine because they're home. But there's really a lot of things you should ask yourself before you commit to this, because the goal, if you get a pet, is that you will be the forever owner of this pet, especially when you know how attached they get to their owners. And so for a lot of the dogs that I fostered, they've been owner surrenders for multiple reasons. And it's really kind of shined a light for me, even coming into this. I didn't know as much when I started fostering 2 years ago, but also for my friends, they didn't know. You know, there's like this notion that if a dog is in the shelter, they did something wrong or they're a bad dog. But no, it's actually the majority of the dogs in shelters, at least in New York City, is because of owner surrender for multiple reasons. And one of the common reasons includes like, if you have to move and your building no longer accepts dogs. That's like a really big one, especially New York City where people live in apartments. Other reasons could be, or that I've witnessed is, you know, you have a dog and then you have a baby and the baby has, you know, you would have no idea that your baby would have like be allergic to dogs. Right. Cats. So that's another reason. Other reasons could include that the owner died and the family members are not equipped to have a dog or don't want to have a dog. And so they end up, so there's like so many reasons. And it's really far from the stereotype of like it being behavioral. So I really appreciate when people think like, should I get a dog before actioning on it? And the pandemic has really made it where, I mean, it feels lonely, especially if you live alone. What I recommend is, I think if you're questioning and you're not sure, you should foster. It's honestly like one of the best things ever, because what you can do is a couple of things. You could foster, and that way you'll get an idea. How are you as a pet owner? Also, what level of energy matches you? Because a lot of people get a dog and they're like, I want this breed because it looks so cute. But every breed has like a different personality. A lot of times, like there's some breeds that are more active than others. And then also every age comes with a different personality, you know? So a lot of people want puppies, but it's a lot of work with a puppy. The majority of the dogs that I've fostered have been senior dogs, and I'm like obsessed. They're like the best. I mean, I love all dogs.
They're more mellow, aren't they?
They're so mellow. They already are house trained. They're not chewing things up. Like, especially for me, when I started fostering, I had a really long work commute. So for me, I couldn't have a puppy and dedicate the time it would require. So senior dogs have just like, oh my God, my heart, like I can't. And also I'm not super active. So like, I'm not going hiking every other day. And so they're really, really awesome. But what I would say is foster. A lot of rescues have a program that's called foster to adopt. And when you foster to adopt, you can actually go into an agreement that you're the foster. And if you fall in love with this dog, you're like, it works, then you could adopt. And that is amazing because you really could test it out that way at no guilt. If you're just a regular foster without foster to adopt, it means that you're a foster. If somebody puts an application before you, they get first dibs. But if it's foster to adopt, you get first dibs. And I think like that's really the best way, especially if you've never owned a pet before, because you're home now, but the pandemic won't last forever. So what happens when you're not lonely anymore? Will you still be able to fit a dog in your lifestyle?
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly what I was, you know, the questions that I asked myself when I was thinking about this myself. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, before this pandemic, I was very busy, very active. I mean, I was barely home because of work and other activities and things like that. And, you know, I realized, and I thought about fostering. So the one thing that for me was, what if I get attached to this dog and it now has to go to another home? Like, I will be so sad. Like, I can't deal with that separation for me. Like, I thought about it, I'm like, I just don't know how I would deal with that. So, I mean, have you experienced that as a foster mom?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yes, for sure. And a lot of people will ask me, like, how do you do it? Like, I cannot because of the pain. But for me, it's kind of like the alternative is that this dog would be at the shelter, potentially euthanized, because if the shelter doesn't have enough room, especially if it's a city shelter, they have to put dogs to sleep to make room. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll survive. It'll be painful, but I will survive and I will get over it. And like after doing it now for 2 years, it's like such a testament. I'm like, yeah, you actually, we're so resilient as humans and even dogs as well. Dogs are so resilient. And so I've had a couple that I was like this close to foster failing is what they call it when you end up adopting the dog you're fostering. But there was one dog in particular, her name was Bella. I was like obsessed with it. She actually got hit by a car. And so she had surgery, recovered with us. And like this girl was like the best dog. Like all of my babies are special, but like there was just something about her. And I called my mom and my stepdad and I was like, okay, listen, my fiance and I, we're gonna move out in a year. Like, can you just hold on to her for 1 year? Like live with my family dog and like, I will, when I move out, like we will take her, like just please. My mom and my stepdad are not about it. They're like, we only want one dog and all of that. So, and then my family dog doesn't like other dogs. So it would have been an ordeal, but I really try to make a case for it. I was devastated at the thought of losing her. But it ended up being that she got adopted by this amazing couple that when I went to drop her off, they had like a wine bottle for me with a note. It was the first time that adopters had ever like given me a gift. And they were like, you know, thank you for housing Bella and making room for another dog to come in. And it really touched me. And I actually did not cry when I said bye to her, because when we got there, her new mom baked her cookies. And I was like, I've never baked any of my foster dogs. I've never baked them anything. Wow. You know? And I was like, so I didn't cry and I was shook, because there have been other times that I have cried in the same goodbye. Like my first foster, I was in a mess. But I didn't, because I saw how she went to a loving home. So other dogs along the way that I thought about keeping. But the thing is that but given that I live in an apartment and my fiance has just gone to dog because of me, so for him it's like one dog at a time. So if I keep a dog, then I won't get to foster a dog. And like I just know there's so many of them. I'm like, okay, Raquel, just hold on until you have your ranch. Like that's my goal. It's like I want my own center, I want my own ranch. Like, so yeah, I mean, but like anyone who's kind of like battling that, like it's such a true sentiment, like it does hurt, but I would say if you're considering it, it's just kind of like, think of the alternative. Like the alternative is that then they're at the shelter, and at the shelter, the dogs don't really show their full personality, because it's a scary place. You have a bunch of, imagine you're a dog that's lived in a home for 5 years. You've had your loving home, and then one day your owner passes away. And then all of a sudden you're at the shelter, all these dogs are barking, you only get let out twice a day, you're like, they literally get depressed. And so, yeah, when I think of them at the shelter, I'm like, oh, I need my babies out. And the more I've done it, the less painful it is. And even when there is pain, we're so resilient, like it only lasts a couple of days. And then when I see, especially when the family send me the photos, it just, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. I'm like, this was a family for this dog. Or a cat, because I've also had fostered cats.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I was feeling bad of like this poor dog going from home to home. But the way you presented that way, you're right. I mean, being in a shelter is just horrible. And they look so depressed. Like for me, I can't take it. Like if it were up to me, like just like you, I would just take them all in. But so what are what besides the positives thing that you said of being a foster parent, what are some of the challenges? Like, I know you said you had the one that was, you know, had surgery, recovery. What are some of the challenges as a foster parent?
Yeah. So some of the challenges as a foster parent is not knowing exactly how the dog is going to be in a home setting, because the shelter is not really a true testament of how the dog will be. And a lot of times dogs will bark. Like if you go, they're scared. And so they're just barking because they're like, oh my God, either they want attention. They're like, please get me out. Oh my God, you're my new person. Or they're barking to say like, I'm freaking scared. Like there's so many people approaching this kennel. So for me, one of the challenges as a foster is like, you know, I have a bio of them, but then I don't know how they truly will be once they're home with me. However, 2 years doing this and over 15 dogs, it's where I already know like how to approach it. And what I mean by that is you don't want to overly coddle, throw too much of, like I set them up for success. So what I mean by that is I have super light couches. So that's a challenge for me, like in all transparency, is like, I'm not in a position to get a new couch every other year, every other month, you know? So I cover my couches because I never know. Well, sometimes I'll know, but sometimes you don't know if the dog is house trained or not. So that's always a risk I take because I love my couches. And like, again, like I'm not in a financial position to like get a ton of couches. So I cover them and I never know like, okay, is this dog going to be the one that chews up my couch or whatever? So what do? I set them up for success. I cover my couches and I try to block off areas in my apartment. So like, I guess you could say that's a challenge. And like my couches look a little funky. If you follow my Instagram, Bella Rescues, like you'll see like any videos I have, like my couches are covered. I have like multiple covers on them. And I set them up for success is like, you know, it would be unfair to a new dog who's never been in the environment to like have everything you care about laying on the floor, right? Because you're not setting them up for success where like if they were to chew something, it's like, well, why do you have it out? So I dog-proof my home. A challenge for me when I was working on my previous job was feeling like I wasn't home enough to like be there for the dog. Being remote has been really nice because like I'm always home. Another challenge is like if I get a dog that's dog reactive and I do have neighbors that have other dogs, that's a challenge because I've had situations where one time I had two dogs at a time and sometimes it would get a little rowdy. And so I had work really, and we had a morning meeting every morning. So I would have to wake up like 2 hours before I was waking up 3 hours before to like go walk one dog, come back up, walk the other dog. And then I was like trying to work out as well, all before work. So like, that was like a challenge. Yeah. But for the most part though, I've really been so blessed. Like a lot of the dogs, like I get, you know, the biggest thing is like giving them space in the first week that they're here and their personalities like really come out. And yeah. And so like, I kind of have down pack what I do, but I guess like a challenge for someone who's never done it before, like when I never did it before, was, are they house trained or not? You know, do they like their ears touched or not? So like, all you can do as a foster is like give them the space to come to you and like you'll get to know each other that way versus you like, oh my God, you're so cute and all this attention because you want to give it to them. It's like, no, like chill, let them come to you.
I love it. So true. So definitely do your research, try, look into fostering as, you know, like a trial, see if that's something that's best for you. I think also, you know, like you said, with fostering, you can figure out if the dog is right for you and figure out what you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And it's kind of a win-win because you're helping this dog getting them prepared for another, a forever home, whether it's yours or not. So it's a definitely a double positive and win-win type of situation.
Yeah, it really is. And like, when you're questioning should I get a dog or not, like most people go for like a puppy, but you're really doing a disservice to that if you've never had a, like if you're not sure, right? Like if there's an ounce of you that's like, I don't know. I know someone personally who asked me like, should they get a puppy? And me knowing their lifestyle, I was like, I truly don't think you should get a puppy. Like it would actually add stress to your life. But the dog was in a predicament, and they felt compelled to go ahead and get this dog. And so they did. And then like 5 months in, they actually ended up having to give up the dog. And it was at no fault of the puppy. However, it's just that that puppy is a mountain dog, essentially. And it really needs an active lifestyle. And so some people are like, oh yeah, I'm active. Yeah. The dog will make me be active. And it's like, no. If you're not active, dog is not gonna make you active. Like, no. So if you're not someone who's like hiking and going on trails, I'm like, don't get a super active dog, right?
Right. It's not your personal coach or trainer.
No, it's not. If you weren't doing that before the dog, you're not doing it after. Like, if anything, you might resent the dog, like, oh, mm-hmm. energy. So for me, it's like, if you have never had a dog before and like really, really look into fostering, maybe you could even like dog sit. Maybe you have a friend, if you don't want it to be so formal and it really isn't that formal, but like you could also dog sit for a friend. Like borrow the dog. Imagine you can do that while having children. And you're like, can I borrow your kids for the weekend?
It's so true, because I used to dog sit and dog walk during nursery school. That's how I made like my side money.
Awesome.
Side. But yeah, they definitely you get to walk different types of dogs or dog sit different types of dogs, and you get a feel of what's best for you and of how it is. Kind of like fostering, but with a little bit of paycheck on the side.
Yeah, that's another thing. You could literally go on rover.com.
Yeah.
Just literally take care of a dog for a weekend. Because the thing is, when you haven't had something, I mean, with everything in life, you don't even realize the little things to expect. So what I mean by that is, like, if you got a puppy and maybe you're not financially stable, you get this puppy and this puppy swallows a sock, because that does happen. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's like a $2,000 vet bill. Like, are you willing to invest that? And you might not be. Like, you might not be able to. So it's like, how are you financially set up? Because for me, it's like, if you're getting a dog, you're making a commitment. It's forever. So it's like, you kind of have to ask yourself, what is my lifestyle like? Like, do I go to, before COVID, like, do I go to happy hour all the time? So having a dog, you gotta be home in time to walk your dog. Are you gonna be down to go home and walk the dog, not go to happy hour? Or you go to happy hour, but you have a dog sitter, but then that's a financial cost, like a dog walker. Just like, what is your lifestyle? Like, do you have the time? Are you financially able to? Like, are you able to have dogs in your building? Because that's another thing. And also, are you willing when you move to find a building that allows pets? Or,
and some pets charge that pet rent as well, on top of your own rent.
Yeah. And so it's like a lot of questions to ask yourself. And I think that's why I like fostering. It's like great, because you could do that. And then maybe you're like, you know what? I could use a fix once or twice a year. I don't want to commit to this 13 plus year commitment.
Mm-hmm. You can just volunteer at the shelters too, right?
Yeah, that's also amazing, because then you're not having the pressures that it might come about by having a pet in your home. Then you could just go to the shelter and then you clock out, kind of like a tía, you know?
Exactly. You get to give the baby back at the end of the day. Yes. And give them all the love that they want. You spoil them. You feed them. It's beautiful. It's like commitments, but no commitment at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I would say. Yeah. And then I would say, like, a lot of people, when they're like, one big thing for me is, if you are, you know, you're like, okay, getting a dog is the right decision for me, because there's so many benefits to having pets too. Like, they're honestly, for me, I'm always like, they're heaven on earth for me. Like, I'm sorry if I offend anyone, but like, literally, it's like a piece of heaven for me here, like having a dog. And so, another thing to kind of look into is, are you adopting? Are you shopping? And the thing is, when you're shopping for a dog, I say, if you cannot see the mom and the dad, then you have no, like, just do not get a dog from the person that you cannot see how the mom and dad are doing. Because what happens is, a lot of people want particular breeds because they're cute, or, you know, whatever. And you're contributing to puppy mills, and it's like that's a whole other topic. Like that's a whole, yeah. I don't know. But essentially, you know, a lot of breeders will say they're responsible breeders, but like do your due diligence and like, how are you really assessing that? Like anyone can put that on their website, on their Instagram. And yeah, there's a new website called Good Dog. And I haven't personally used it, but I saw, according to their site, like they're vetting breeders. And I think like it's something worth checking out. But my go-to is petfinder.com. Petfinder.com only allows rescues to post on there. And you can set up an alert so that you can get alerted if the type of a dog you're looking for becomes available. Like if you're looking for a particular age, breed, location, that kind of thing. I'm all about just, you know, adopt, don't shop. But I don't want to kind of, I'm not super judgmental if someone wants a particular breed, you know, maybe they can only have a hyperallergenic. The thing is, you can find a lot of pure breed dogs and shelters, because again, dogs end up at the shelter for many reasons. And so I would say that that's the first avenue you should check out. And then having the patience to kind of, because it is a process in the sense of, if you're looking for a particular dog, well, if they're not available in a day or two, like don't lose patience. Like they might be available in 2 weeks, you know, it's like, it's a lifetime commitment. Yeah. So, you know, have that patience to wait out, and you'll see why it doesn't work out with one dog versus the other once you find your baby.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. Totally awesome. And I know you are super foster professional out in the city. So tell everyone what your mission is and where they can find you, reach out.
Yeah. So if you want to follow my Foster Chronicles, you can go on Instagram, Bella Rescues. And you could also email me at bellarescues@gmail.com. Right now, you just get to see all the dogs and cats that I foster. I try to just like walk you through like my experience with them. And my goal in the future is to have either my own rescue or foundation. So I'm going through the journey to figure it out which one's going to be. So if you're listening to this like 10 years later, we'll know which one it is. But as of now, it's like, you know, I'm fostering and I really love it. It's awesome. And if you have any questions around it, feel free to reach out. Like I will answer everyone asking me anything about fostering.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Raquel, for being here. This was amazing. And definitely I'll have all the information on my page as well for people if anyone wants to reach out. Thank you for being here, and thank you all for listening. Until next time. All right, let's move on to the tarot message of the week. This week's tarot message of the week is the Seven of Shields, the Trail of Tears card. And if you don't know what the Trail of Tears is, I suggest you Google it. So the message here is telling you there is strength and growth in the struggles that you've been experiencing, in the hard work that you've been putting in. Maybe you've been having some regret over mistakes, past mistakes if you've had and made. But those mistakes have led to great gain and success. There are no such thing as mistakes, there are only lessons. So take those lessons, grow from them. You'll grow and strengthen from them. And you will have the success and gain that you deserve. And that is the message of the week. Thank you so much for listening, Somebody Knows. Please remember to follow on Instagram and Facebook at Café y Consejos Podcast. Every Saturday, I host a free meditation session on Instagram Live, so make sure to check out for that. You can also buy a Thea cup of coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Thea Maria. And as always, remember, tu tía loves you. Siempre pa'lante y portate bien.